Today we're going to talk about what is a worship leader. We've talked about what is worship and defined that as the act of responding to God's revelation of His infinite worth. And last time we defined a worshiper as one who spends their whole life seeking, finding, and responding to God's revelation of His infinite worth. So today, what is a worship leader? And we're going to first make a definition statement and say that a worship leader is a worshiper who is called, gifted, and yielded to the privilege of leading others in responding to God's revelation of His infinite worth. All right, and we lead the people of God in worship by example, number one, number two, by invitation, number three, by instruction. Number one, by example. Let's look at an example of that example in Exodus 33, verses 8 through 10. It says, "Now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, far off from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people would rise up, and each would stand at his tent door and watch Moses until he had gone into the tent. When Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. And when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise up and worship, each at his tent door." So Moses went to the tent of meeting to seek the Lord. He went out there to that tent that he had set up for that purpose to meet with God. For anyone that wanted to seek him, he would go out there and seek God. The presence of God came visibly as Moses worshiped him. The cloud would come, and it was evident that the presence of God was there. As the people saw the presence of the Lord revealed, remember that worship is about seeing the worth of God revealed. Seeing God creates, provokes a response. So the people would see the presence of the Lord revealed, and they worshiped him also. So in our case, we should be genuinely worshiping, right? Not just playing and singing as we lead on a Sunday morning or in any other corporate worship gathering. The Lord inhabits the praises of His people. So as we worship, His presence begins to fill the atmosphere. And we have to recognize that as worship leaders, as worship teams, we're more focused on, or should be at least, focused on worshiping God than sometimes people are on a Sunday morning or coming into a corporate meeting. We've been thinking about it. We've been preparing. We've been praying and seeking God. How are we going to find you today in a way that is going to be meaningful to you? And then how are we going to reach back and draw people into an experience with you, into your presence this morning? So we've been thinking about it, but a lot of times people are just either, if it's an evening coming home from work, or a Sunday morning just getting up and they've been getting the kids ready. People are not always that tuned in to seeking God. Some are, but we know that not everyone is. And so even though people may come in just watching us and not really thinking about their own relationship with and nearness to the Lord, just like the Israelites in their own tent doors as they watched Moses meet with the Lord, as they perceive the presence of God, they begin to enter into worship as well. So by example, we make the example of going in and worshiping. Presence of God comes, they see Him, they worship. Number two, by invitation. In Psalm 34, verses 1 through 3, David says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." So first of all, example again, "I will bless the Lord at all times, and His praise shall continually be in my mouth." In other words, I'm not here to ask you to do something I'm not doing. All right, this is, again, an example, not just even of what I'm doing this morning, but of my life continually. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I should have an example of a life as a worshiper, not just Sunday morning service activity. But then he says, "My soul makes its boast in the Lord." So I'm not here as a performer, showing off my gift and my talent or boasting in myself. I'm praising the Lord and I'm boasting in Him and in His greatness. I'm just simply using my talent and my gift that the Lord has given me to do that. And then it says, "Let the humble hear and be glad. So others who have humble hearts, who are looking for God, are glad to hear when someone else is doing the same. When someone is magnifying God, the humble are like, oh, wow, that makes me glad. And then we're able to say, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. So we invite them to join with us in worshiping and honoring the Lord because we're doing it. We're doing it. We're humbling ourselves and we're worshiping the Lord. Their humble hearts hear it and are gladdened by that. And then we can say, come on with me. Don't just be glad that I'm doing it and listen to me worship God. Come on in with me. Thirdly, by instruction. 1 Chronicles 29:20 says, then David said to all the assembly, bless the Lord your God. And all the assembly blessed the Lord, the God of their fathers, and bowed their heads and paid homage to the Lord and to the king. So David instructed the people to worship. He said, bless the Lord your God. And what happened? They worshiped. It says all the congregation blessed the Lord. In Psalm 147, just picking three verses out of that, verse 1, verse 7, and verse 12, it says, praise the Lord. Again, we're talking about instruction. So there's an instruction there to praise the Lord, for it's good to sing praises to our God. And then in verse 7, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. That's an instruction, isn't it? Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God on the lyre. So sing to him with your voice and use your instrument to make melody to him, to worship him. And verse 12 says, praise the Lord, O Jerusalem, an instruction. Praise your God, O Zion. In Psalm 148, it's full of instruction. It says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded they were all created, etc., etc. It says in verse 7, praise the Lord from the earth, great sea creatures and all deeps. And goes on to talk about other aspects of creation. Verse 11 says, kings of the earth and all peoples, still under the command to praise the Lord, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. Praise the Lord, it ends with. Praise the Lord is the final command. Psalm 149, very similar. Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. Psalm 149 is all very similar. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the godly. It talks about dancing and many other aspects. Psalm 150, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with instructions and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And then it ends all of the Psalms with this instruction to praise the Lord. All right, so first by example, we lead the people of God into worshiping him by example, by invitation, and then by instruction. And by instruction, I don't mean so much teaching. I mean, I think you could see it there, by command or instructing, giving a command or instruction to praise the Lord. This sequence is very important to keep in that order because it's only right for us to instruct people to worship when we've invited them to worship with us and they've accepted the invitation. And it's only right for us to invite them to worship with us, not instead of us or in spite of us, but to invite them into our example and our life of worship. You'll find that in a meeting where someone is trying to instruct people just from a cold start, this doesn't mean that we don't exhort people to come in and worship, but where there is a strong command to worship, right from the start when people have not come in and experienced the atmosphere of what we're doing, there hasn't been an invitation. I'm not trying to be so technical and precise with my terms here, but with the heart of this, you'll find that when people are just being hard commanded to worship, as though it was a law that they had to follow, it doesn't work. It never works because it's not from the heart. We don't follow law. We follow after grace. We follow the Spirit within us. We're worshipers in spirit and in truth, not according to law. All right. So by example and then by invitation, we worship. We invite others in with us. And then we can instruct and say, okay, now that we're all here together, Let's praise, let's dance, let's shout. When we're all in it together, we find an experience of worship in spirit and in truth that's enjoyable to us and pleasing to the Lord. Next time we'll talk about what is a worship leading team.